Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at stutterrockstar.com. And it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I have the privilege and opportunity to speak with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Samantha. Hey, Samantha, how's it going?
Hi, doing well. How are you, Pam?
I'm good. I'm enjoying a nice lazy Sunday and looking forward to getting to know more about you. So I'm delighted that you're on the show.
Me too, and thank you for inviting me to be on.
You're most welcome. And to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep busy.
Yes. So I'm Samantha Temi Rayberding. It's hyphened. And I was blessed with marrying a husband whose last name has some very hard sounds. However, I'm from Toledo, Ohio. I'm a speech language pathologist. I have one fur child named Charlie and no human children yet.
Oh, all right, cool. What type of work do you do as far as being a speech language pathologist?
Well, I've been out onto the field for about 4 years now. I started off working for a speech clinic who also contracted to charter schools around Toledo area, and also home health. So I had 3 years experience with school-aged kids from preschool up to high school age, and also some home health with that job. And then I resigned from that job and then went to a skilled nursing home, was there for about 10 months and then changed again. So I now work for HCR, the Heartland Skilled Nursing Homes. So I like it a lot though.
Oh.
It's a fun place and we have a really great therapy team. So work well together.
That's good. It's always important to have a good good work team and like what you're doing. That makes a world of difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It makes the work day go by a lot quicker and easier.
Yeah. What made you decide to become a speech language pathologist?
Well, to tell you the truth, it wasn't until my sophomore year of college where I really, you know, began to think about that. When I was little, of course, I had many things I wanted to become: veterinarian, marine biologist, a children's book writer at one point. And then I actually started off in pharmacy, and I realized it wasn't really for me. I think what what attracted me to that was in my head, I thought, well, I wouldn't have to talk as much, and seems like a well-paying, respectable job, and I wouldn't have to talk very much. I would just, hand out medicines to people. That was my idea of what a pharmacist did, I think. But so my freshman year of college, I was just doing pharmacy, and then I realized, this isn't for me. I had thought about going into nursing, but once again, what deterred me away from that was the fact that, oh, nurses have to talk to doctors and nurses have to communicate things, pretty quickly. So at that point in my life, I wasn't very secure with my speech at all. I had spent years of avoiding. I still would rarely make phone calls, wouldn't talk in class, wouldn't do any presentations. And my parents, God bless them, but they never were educated on, maybe it's not the best thing to do everything for your child who stutters. Like, they made all my phone calls, they talked for me a lot of the time, ordered my food and restaurants, which they thought helped. But because I l let that happen, I had just so much fear and anxiety going into any speaking situation. And that took many years to undo, which I actually didn't start until my last year of my bachelor's. But anyways, so I thought speech language pathology, maybe I could, really understand my patients and my clients, and I could help them, because I had years of speech therapy. And I just thought that I would be more accepted into that field too, because, which is interesting now. But it just felt like a good fit, I guess.
Now, you said that you had years of speech therapy yourself. Was it helpful therapy?
No. No, not so much. Well, I'm 29. So back then, I feel like the therapist who treated me didn't really know much about stuttering. My emotions were never addressed, my fears, how I felt towards my speech. I mean, it was all fluency. And then the one therapist I had actually during my undergrad, she was really great, and we actually started to tackle phone calls together. And she would call first, and she would pseudo stutter because she was a fluent person, or she is a fluent person. And she started to break down that wall I had and that fear. And I would say that was the start of my turning point towards acceptance and towards facing feared situations. And then in grad school, I also had really good therapists who also stuttered, and they were getting their doctorates in stuttering. So,
Oh, wow.
yeah.
Wow.
That's a different story too. So,
Well, I'm curious. So once you made the decision to switch from pharmacy to speech pathology, how was it for you? How was the college experience?
my undergrad experience was okay. My classes were fine. That was never an issue. I always did well in school despite not talking that much in class. But I tested well and I performed well. When I was in my bachelor's program, I didn't really face too much negativity. Not really. I did an independent study with one of the professors at Toledo. Basically, we wrote a research paper together, and it talked about how, therapy for somebody who stutters isn't cookie cutter. So every person who stutters is different and could benefit from different things. So even at that point, when I wasn't really, that comfortable with stuttering, I didn't have too much negativity towards it from others. I even saw, clients at our school clinic, and I did okay. I made it through, so.
Were classmates and your professors, were they pretty accepting and supportive of your stuttering?
Yeah, my classmates were very supportive of it. Most of my professors were, even then I had a few comments like, well, this is going to be really hard for you, but nobody who ever said, like, you can't do this. It's just going to be tough. But then I'm not one to really listen to others say, I guess. If I want something, I will try my hardest to accomplish that. But then I started applying to grad schools. Got in and started grad school.
And how was that? Did you face the same level of acceptance and support as you did in undergrad?
Not quite. Well, at first they were very supportive of me. And I remember on the first day of class, we all had to, go around the room, something that we all hate as being somebody who stutters. I hated those stupid icebreakers.
Yes, that's for sure.
But so she wanted us to, tell the class two things about you or two fun or weird facts about you. So my first fact was, I actually stutter. And I remember hearing her clearly say, "Oh, we don't care about that. What's something else?" So I thought, okay, well, this is cool. They think it's fine that I stutter. So that works. So my first semester of grad school went pretty well. I actually started getting therapy once a week with the professor who taught stuttering course. And that went all right. But then my second semester, things kind of changed. And they highly suggested that I, so instead of seeing clients like my classmates were doing, they wanted me to get intensive speech therapy, meaning 12 hours a week,
Oh, wow.
which, yeah, intensive speech therapy, which wouldn't allow me to have a client then. I asked them at that point, will I still be able to graduate on time? And their response was, "Well, we'll see." So I'm like, "Well, okay." So, no one forced me to get this, but it was highly suggested. So I guess you can fill in those lines of what that actually meant.
So did you do it?
Yes. And I worked with two of the doctorate students. One stuttered, and he was awesome, and so was the other one. We mainly focused on, how I felt towards stuttering, and then we incorporated facing feared situations, and then a little of stuttering modification too. But at the end of that, I still stuttered, and I still stuttered a lot, and I still blocked, and I mean, that wasn't some miracle cure. And they never expected me to speak fluently, but I know that they wanted me to use modifications, which, as we all know, if you can't always use those. And I don't really care if I stutter. I mean, sometimes I do, and it's hard. However, sometimes it's a lot easier to just stutter than it is to try to incorporate all of these, changes to my speech. And at that point, I was just becoming more comfortable and accepting of my speech. So I was still, like undoing all of that fear and avoidance. So until I had that sorted out, it was really hard to use modifications.
Wow,
But yeah.
so let me ask you. So was it implied that you had to, quote unquote, get better in order to be successful as an SLP? I mean, was that what they were getting at?
Yeah, I wish I had my emails and I, 'cause I had wrote this stuff down actually. I might have them somewhere. Yeah, I was told, when you're treating someone, you're disfluencies will take away from the time spent
Oh no.
with a client. And I'm like, okay, but out, yeah, kind of. But to me, it's the quality of therapy, not quantity of therapy. So I was told that, well, why don't I use more, tricks or whatever? And one of my professors, like towards the end of grad school, it was like my second year, he actually told me I was one of the top five most severe stutterers he's ever heard.
Oh my goodness.
And like that hurt because one, I'm like, okay, there's no way, because I've heard many people who stutter talk. Two, I think that I'm still a good communicator. Three, why would you even tell me that? Like, you're my teacher. You're supposed to be supportive. You're supposed to want me to succeed. So he also said, it's a shame that this career requires so much talking. And he asked, have you ever thought about going the research route?
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, that was a hard conversation to hear. So that happened, and then there were other things like we had to do diagnostics, which is where we as a team would, have a new client and do assessments and then write up their reports and our findings. And so we always had groups of like four. Well, for some reason, my group, it turned into, well, we can't tell, like who's writing what or who's like what part everybody has. So we're going to make you all do it by yourself. Meaning we would all have to do the assessments ourselves one on one with these clients, and then write up our own diagnostic results. Well, somehow the other girl's clients either canceled or something happened where they didn't actually have to do these alone. Yet somehow I ended up, my client came. Would you look at that? Now, I'm not implying that this was a complete setup, but I wouldn't throw that out either. Because I believe that they wanted to watch just me do it. So that happened. What else happened? Oh, we had a fluency camp. It was like a 2-day workshop where we had groups of two, and we had a client who stuttered. Well, that didn't go very well. Like our supervisor, who was supervising my group, she actually failed me on that, claiming that I didn't prepare enough and I didn't model the correct stuttering modifications. Yet my partner, who was in this with me, who did the same stuff, passed.
Oh, wow.
So then, to make up that failed grade, I had to do 3 private sessions with a client who stutters while my supervisor watched it all on a camera.
It almost sounds like they were like trying to make you quit. Did you feel like that as all this was happening?
Oh yeah. There were times when I would go home and just cry because I didn't understand how a profession who should be so pro, helping others, didn't want to support one of their students who happened to have a speech issue, if you will.
Did you ever talk to anybody while all this was going on? I mean, was there somebody that was available for you as an advocate?
Well, yeah, there were a few. One of my supervisors, not the one who I was just talking about, she actually pulled me aside once and she said, "You can't repeat this, but I think that they're being too hard on you." And she goes, "Just keep on doing what you're doing and try your hardest and you'll be okay." So that happened. And then one of my clinicals, I was at a school, and that SLP was great, and she was so supportive, and she told me, yeah, you'll have times where it's not easy, but you can totally do this. So that was nice to hear.
Yeah.
And then my last semester where I was, pushed back to, I ended up actually talking to the Office of Disabilities because I was told, there was a chance I might not graduate.
At all or on time?
What I was already not on time yet there was a chance I would even get pushed back farther. I had a terrible experience with my skilled nursing facility placement. That SLP was not nice to me at all. She was very hard on me. One of the first things that she told me was, yeah, when I heard that I had a student who stuttered, I told my friends who are SLPs, and they said that I was crazy for taking on a student who stuttered.
Oh my gosh.
Which one of the first things that you tell your student is that? Why would you? That's just mean. I don't know. So I ended up going to the Office of Disability, and that man was very helpful, and he said that, this is very close to discrimination. So she was, or he was in touch with the college and, tried to work out some plan to where how I could get through this and graduate. But I did end up finishing. So
Well, congratulations. It just from what you described, it seems like it was such an ordeal. I mean, what personally got you through this?
my friends and my family and the other, I was really close to the doctoral students who stuttered. So they told me, we had a tough time too at one point, and if we can do this, you can. And they were just a really good source of understanding and encouragement. And my family, they were very involved and were like, if we have to sue, we are prepared to do so. So,
Wow.
yeah.
Wow. Now you mentioned that you went and spoke to somebody in the disabilities office. So that kind of begs the question, do you think that stuttering is a disability?
That's one thing that I've thought about many times. I don't see it as that. I just see it as like an accent or just a difference. I mean, just because it might take a little longer for me to get out what I want to say, doesn't necessarily mean that that's a disability. Now, is it treated like that? And does our society view it like that? Yeah, most of the time. But I don't see it like that. And not even because I'm prideful, but just because, I mean, it's just a different way of speaking. I mean, and society, they put labels on things. So.
Yeah, that's an in interesting question. I just find the whole disability question to be really interesting, and the only reason I asked it is because you mentioned that you went to the disability office. I did a presentation to some high school seniors back in May, and I talked about stuttering and my stuttering journey, and mentioned a little bit about the neurological and genetic influences, and talked about different therapy approaches and blah blah blah. And the students were wonderful. They had great questions and great feedback, and several of them emailed me after the presentation, and they used the word disability. And they said, "Thank you for coming to us to talk about your disability." One of them said, "It was really brave of you to come in and talk about your disability." And my thing was, I had never used the word disability in the whole hour that I spoke, and it was just interesting that that was their takeaway, that they thought of stuttering as a disability. So I think what you said about how society regards it very often is different from how we, as a person who stutters, regards it. And I do think that society in general views it as a disability because it's something that they're not familiar with, and it's something different.
And I mean, there are s situations where, well, like in grad school, where it held me back compared to my typical speaking peers. But that wasn't b because I held myself back because of that. It's b because, you know, the school held my held me back because of it. So.
Yeah. What would you say, kind of in wind down mode, what would you say it, that you that you learned from that whole experience? What was
Well,
what was the most important lesson, if you will, that you learned?
I think is it taught me a lot about perseverance and, you know, not listening to others when they have negative comments or, you know, telling you that you can't do something just because of how you talk. I mean, that's just, I think it's terrible. But it made me stronger. I mean, now now I make phone calls all the time. I advertise to most people I meet, and I don't apologize for it.
Good for you.
Yeah, whereas, trying to get my train of thoughts together right now. I think it just really taught me strength and not giving up, and that if you really put your mind to do something that you can.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that after grad school, I encountered like a few SLPs who were, like a little wary about it. But in the 4 years that I have been out, I have received mostly praise about being an SLP who stutters. I think I told you I worked in the schools for 3 years, and I, not one parent ever had an issue with my speech. In fact, it was most of the time quite the opposite. Like they actually liked that I stuttered. And in the nursing homes, I've only had two incidents where I've had a patient say anything negative, and that was mainly because of their, mental state. So I haven't had even like 10% of the negativity I experienced in school. So I find that very interesting,
Yeah,
actually.
really, really.
My speech has changed a little. I don't block as much. I mean, I still block, but now my speech is more, like forward flowing. I think maybe I'm not able to really objectively speak about myself. But it has changed, and now I'm more comfortable with it. And yeah, so things are a lot easier now.
Well, just from the time that we've talked here, I can say that you're a very confident, effective communicator. You speak well. There's a lot of animation and emotion in your voice, and you've conveyed exactly what you wanted to. You've said what you wanted to, and to me, that's what good communication is all about. And not only are you a great communicator, but your story is so inspiring. And I'm so glad that you had the opportunity to share this. I'm sure people listening are going to feel inspired by what you've gone through and how you positively came out on the other end.
I hope so. I mean, because I know there's a lot of, up and coming students who stutter who want to be SLPs. And if I can just tell them one thing, it's just, don't let anyone tell you that you can't do this, because it's not true. It's not true.
And you're proof of
So,
that.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Samantha, thank you so much for being a guest on today's show and sharing part parts of your story. I feel like we could have talked for an hour longer. I feel like we've only just scratched the surface, but thank you so much for your honesty and for sharing.
You're welcome. It's been nice being able to talk about that. So it's always therapeutic getting that out again.
Thanks again, and this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.
Namana, namana.